We are back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Mold is all around us, from those wet towels stuffed in an old gym bag to the forgotten carton of tomatoes sitting in the back of the fridge. Molds have found a comfortable home in just about every human domain. And depending on who you are, it could be impacting your health.
Jill Krista is a naturopathic doctor based in Janesville, Wisconsin, and she's the author of a new book that deals with the issue of mold-related illnesses. Entitled Break the Mold, the book offers tips on how to deal with mold and how it can impact your health.
Dr. Krista spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and she starts by explaining her approach to healthcare.
So as a naturopathic doctor, I'm trained to find and treat the cause. And most of the time when we can find the cause, whether it's food sensitivities or a lifestyle thing, something maybe genetic you were born with, and we can alter or assist that cause, get rid of the cause, and then alter the body's ability to deal with it, people get better. It's very elegant, and it's participative. And I had this small set of patients where they were doing everything right. I mean, 110% right. Not just, you know, most of my patients, they do 80% of it that they were supposed to do and still get better. And these are patients that would just keep coming back, and I can't believe they trusted me to keep coming back. We would try something different, or we would augment a little bit. They do it 110% and they just weren't getting better. And then one of those patients in his home, they found black mold. And that was the boom. That was the moment that it was like, okay, I think this might be what's behind your barriers to getting better. And the more that I dug into mold, the more I found that was true. And then wondered if it also applied to those other, you know, quote unquote, stuck patients that were trying so hard and doing everything right but not getting better. And sure enough, there were evidences of water damage building and mold exposure in their history.
So when you say you dug into mold,
yeah,
what do you mean by that?
Mold is it's very well known in the research world. We understand this in animal husbandry. People who take care of animals and feed animals, they had to figure out mold because they were losing entire livestock because of mold infecting their food. So we started to understand it not only from an environmental perspective, but also from a feed standpoint. But research on humans is really lacking. So we don't really have good research on what kind of things will make a person better if they have mold exposure. Of course, the number one thing if you have mold exposure is avoidance. In my book, I talk about that. The first three things to do, avoidance, avoidance, avoidance. So you kind of get the picture of how important that is. If you don't get out of the moldy environment, there's no amount of band-aiding and chasing we can do to get somebody better. So that's the first thing. And in some cases, that works. People get out of the environment and they get better. But in some cases, they don't get better. And it's because the mold has now altered their immune system and has kind of moved into their body. And that's where we come in as doctors to help out.
When people think of mold, everybody has a specific idea of what that is, you know, spores that can kind of get into your body. But what are the different types of mold that people encounter on a daily basis?
That's a really good point to bring up because people associate mold illness with an old building where it smells musty. You can tell that there's visual mold. But in many of the cases that I worked with, there was no evidence of the mold. The most toxic part of mold has no scent. And that is the part that can move through building materials. Those are called mycotoxins, mold toxins. You can be breathing that air and having the exposure and getting ill from things that have nothing to do with the spores. So I think of mold illness as a math equation. It's both spore illness plus mycotoxin illness and chemical illness. So mold also spits out chemicals like VOCs and things that you would have in new materials. Some people really are intolerant to those, so now that's another piece of their toxicity that's piled on top of their problem.
Is there a specific place in a home or in a building more generally that you're going to find mold?
Any water intrusion. Okay. I would say in our area where it's so humid and then we have these uber-tight homes, we have a real recipe for disaster. All of the building materials we're using are lined in paper, which is mold's favorite food. It's an easy-to-digest carbohydrate. So we line our house with paper. We don't manage humidity. Mold can grow at over 50% humidity. think about that. Like in our area, in the summertime, we can be at 80 to 90% humidity day after day after day. So if you're not doing something to actively reduce your humidity, mold can grow because you have a tight home made of paper on the inside and all that humidity. But I would say most commonly, the building biologist that I work with who does the mold inspection, she has yet to see a finished basement that doesn't have some degree of mold growth.
Hmm.
Whoa. Now, is that enough mold growth to be affecting the people inside or the animals inside? Maybe not, but she's finding it in every building she looks.
So if you're someone who is having an issue with mold, how do you know? What are the kinds of symptoms that you're going to have?
That's the really tricky thing about mold. It doesn't have a diagnostic symptom. And that's why I think it has gone unrecognized for so long and why I wrote the book, because I wanted to create an awareness about all the various ways that mold can show up. It can affect every system in the body, and it can create almost any symptom because it depends on your genetic weaknesses. So you might come from a family that has a lot of irritable bowel disease, and then if you move into a water-damaged office and you start getting worse irritable bowel symptoms, you can say, well, this is my family dynamics and it's stress. But that's why I created the questionnaire in the book, because I wanted to give people an idea of a risk factor, you know, taking all of the things that mold could be creating and comparing it to all of the things you might be noticing in your body and give you a risk of, yeah, it's probably not mold. It's probably something else. Maybe it's diet, lifestyle, things that we can address. And then there's high-risk people and then somewhere in between. So it gives you a way to know. I would say the number one thing that we see is fatigue. That can be masked with our hypercaffeine use in our culture. And also some level of anxiousness, some level of inner unsettled feeling. I would say that of all of the people I've worked with that had mold, those were two factors. And it doesn't have to be crippling fatigue, although it could be, depending on your genetics, how long you've been exposed and how much you've been exposed to. But it's a marked change in your normal way of being.
A lot of the symptoms on the questionnaire also correlate with various autoimmune disorders, autoimmune problems. How do you dissect mold from those kinds of issues, and should you?
That's a really astute observation that you made. The reason why a lot of the things on the questionnaire address autoimmune is that mold will create an immune deficiency in the body. And if you look at other congenital types of immune deficiencies, the number one thing that they get is more infections, which you can see with mold. The number two thing they get is more autoimmune disease. So the autoimmune disease, I see it as immune confusion and exhaustion. So it's just firing off at anything because it doesn't have the distinction and the energy anymore to figure out what to freak out about, basically. So, yeah, you'll see immune deficiency symptoms, and then you can have an increased incidence of autoimmune conditions.
So your book is, of course, called Break the Mold, 5 Tools to Conquer Mold. What are some of those tools? If you're someone who believes that you are having these kinds of issues or someone who already has autoimmune problems that aren't going away, what can you do to combat mold, at least?
Mm-hmm. Well, the 5 tools in general are avoidance, which we talked about. Get out of the mold and get away from it in your food, get away from it in your environment, your hobbies. You would not believe how many people I worked with that have mold toxicity that were attracted to things as their hobby that just made their mold symptoms worse. So we have historic building people that love to go stay in historic buildings and tour historic buildings. Brewmaster, I had librarian. I mean, and that's just a bunch of paper. It's amazing to me, the hobbies. So avoidance, number one. Number two, fundamentals. Getting all of the fundamental things that you would get lectured from a naturopathic doctor like me, like eating right, exercise, getting sleep, healthy relationships, you know, blah, blah. Number three is protecting your body from that exposure. Repairing any damage is number 4. And number 5 is then kill the mold. So in each of those tools, there are various things that you can pick and choose that match what you're willing to do. And not everybody needs to use every single tool, But you do need to use something from each of those five categories in order to break the mold.
So if you are someone, though, who's a librarian, that's your job,
mm-hmm.
what do you do? Because, I mean, you can't, you maybe can't stop being a librarian if that's how you're, you know,
making
your livelihood. If there are elements of your life where you really have to encounter mold, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, so one of those situations is remediators. They do heroic work. They go into these water-damaged buildings. They know there's mold there. They wear all of the protective gear, but the toxins can get through their mask. So they have to be doing things to protect their bodies. So that entire section, Protect, has like bioflavonoids. Those are the colorful parts of food that help to protect the effects of those toxins coming into the body. Not everybody is going to be genetically as sensitive as another person. Many of the remediators that worked on my home and have worked on homes of my patients, they kind of look at people like me that are what I call a mold canary in the coal mine because I react to everything mold. They would look at me and think, oh, I'm so glad I'm not that lady. You know, and they're much more hardy and they can handle being exposed to that. But I still lectured them, poor guys, about taking milk thistle because that has a specific benefit for mold exposure. And there has to be a certain amount in your system. So there are things that you can do that even if you know you're going to be exposed. Now, number one for them, they do protective equipment. That's the most important thing that they're doing. But also from a body standpoint, getting your body more resilient to that exposure. If you are a librarian, for example, and you're in a moldy library, remediation also has to happen. That's the complex part about mold, is that I can do everything to help the body, but then we need other building doctors to come and treat the building to really treat the cause.
All right. Well, Jill, thank you so much for coming in and talking about your book with us today.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Jill Krista is a naturopathic doctor based in Janesville and the author of a new book entitled Break the Mold, Five Tools to Conquer Mold and Take Back Your Health. She spoke with Lake Effect producer Joy Powers.
Dr. Krista has a survey available on her website for those who are concerned whether mold is impacting their health. You can find a link to that survey at wuwm.com.